You're listening to High Plains Morning on High Plains Public Radio. So happy to be here with you. And we're going to have a really fun little next treat here. As you listeners know, all my loyal listeners that listen to what we play here on High Plains Morning, I've had a album called A Small Death in rotation quite a bit since it came into my hot little hands. And it's just one of those albums across the entire pandemic that came out that just really resonated. And we like to hear songs that just kind of like let us chill out and maybe let us soak into the borders of the collective trauma that we've all had over this last year. This was one of those albums for me, and I just am so excited. We've got Samantha Crane on the line right now. She is an Oklahoma-based Choctaw American songwriter, singer, poet, producer. She's also a pandemic-era music interview vlog host, I guess now. She is just a purveyor of delightful music videos, and she's also an Indigenous Music Award winner and two-time winner at the Native American Music Award. So she's basically just full on Oklahoma royalty. And so we're so happy to have you here, Samantha, on the line to talk about some of your new music that's coming out, as well as what you've been up to.
Hi. Yes. Thank you, Jenny. Thanks for having me.
Well, Samantha, you've been in the HPPR studio. It was, I think, 4 trillion years ago. I think dinosaurs walked the earth, but you came in with Rigby Summer. She was Summerland back then. And we were so excited to have you in the studio, play some music. And your recent album, A Small Death, it came out last year. It just dealt with this intensely personal feelings of overcoming this emotional and physical calamities. And it just felt wildly appropriate upon its release. It was one of those things where I heard it and I was like, I know she recorded this a very long time ago before all this stuff hit. But the fact that it came out when it did, it just felt so perfectly appropriate. We all just experienced this collective pause, and it's just this protracted stasis that we've all been in and we're not out of now. And I just wanted to let you know, this album has really played a strong part in my rotation on High Plains Morning. So the people listening to you now are going to be familiar with your music because we play the heck out of it. And we can't wait to have the new album. Can you tell us a little bit about what's on the horizon? I got a little alert that something's coming out. And I got super excited.
Yeah. So I've got an EP, which for people that aren't, you know, familiar with like technical, you know, record speak, EP is just like a short record, basically. So after I finished A Small Death, I sort of, you know, had a few breadcrumbs, like a just sort of like a little epilogue's worth of, by the way, I've got a couple more things to say about all of this. And so I just sort of recorded these four songs kind of at the beginning of the, I guess, pandemic is at this point is when it was. And it's basically, it was kind of a weird time to be recording the songs, honestly, because the four songs are sort of an expression of myself sort of becoming increasingly at peace with uncertainties that I had sort of talked about in song on A Small Death. So basically I was recording these songs about, you know, finding more peace and finding more balance at the time when, you know, the world was kind of in a state of upheaval, which was a interesting thing. But basically it's I think the songs are sort of the postscript of the worst case scenario letter, you know, like the part where breath is taken and relief is sighed and sort of the thought enters into your mind that, you know, if you're still alive, there is no unbearable burden. And that's sort of the voice that these four songs are coming from.
Well, it's appropriately titled, I Guess We Live Here Now, and it's due to release on April 9th. I can't wait to get it in rotation. The title alone, to me, it's like a lot of the things that I've seen you do where it feels like a little tongue-in-cheek and kind of almost playful, but very heavy. And so it's kind of like, I guess we're doing this. I guess we're all stuck at home. As someone who's a songwriter who made their living doing live performance, tell us a little bit about how you experienced the pandemic overall.
You know, it's had its ups and downs. I think with most people, they have probably had moments of intense joy being able to spend time doing things that they wouldn't normally have the time or the luxury to do. And they've probably also experienced, you know, financial hardships and a bit of aimlessness, not having specific job, a specific job that they can like get up, a purpose that they can get up for every morning. And I've experienced both sides of that coin as well. I've had a really nice time. I got a dog during all of this. So I've had a really nice time, with him, and I wouldn't normally have had that much time to just enjoy having a dog, if I would be on tour. I've also had to sort of pivot into different ways of, paying the bills. I sort of got into directing music videos through all of this way more than I would ever imagine myself doing, just because it was something that I could do, just around town with fairly minimal people involved and that sort of thing. And so I've done those for a few bands around Oklahoma, and I sort of have been doing a lot of like freelance composing for podcasts and things like that since everybody started a podcast during this time. And yeah, it's just been like everyone else, it's been good and bad, highs and lows. I am really looking forward to the time that I can get back out and play shows again, since that really is, the cornerstone of why I do this, why I write songs. It's so I can have those moments of connecting with people in person and being able to sing the songs to them, in person.
Well, I know that when I think of you, I think of you in association with so many of the other great Oklahoma artists that we feature on High Plains Morning and across all of our shows on High Plains Public Radio. I'm thinking the Annie Oakley, whom we, recently interviewed about their forthcoming album that I believe has got some singles out now. Kyle Reed, Beth Bombara. I know she's not from Oklahoma, but you used to play with her as well. She's honorary Oklahoman. John Calvin Abney, like I said, Rigby Summer. Seems like you guys have a pretty great community out there, the Imaginaries, just all these different folk artists from Oklahoma area. Have you guys been keeping in touch and, keeping in little communities, or have you felt pretty siloed across, just this entire last year?
I think it just depends. With the Annie Oakley girls, that, they're living out in Colorado now. Mm-hmm. But I did direct a music video for them over the winter. So I've been able to keep in touch with them just because we work together on a lot of fronts. Like, they sing on my recording sometimes, and, Joe does like photography for me and things. So, and then Kyle Reed lives around the corner from me. So I see him, when I'm out walking my dog. And same with John Calvin Abney, he's around. So I think it just depends on like your probably physical proximity more than anything else. So even though we haven't been able to see each other at gigs or, play music together, if we live within a physical proximity to each other, then it's just kind of, waving and being able to keep in touch that way. But I think, all of them are sort of going through a similar thing where they're just having to kind of take things as they come and, learn how to find their way through all of this.
As we all must.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that brings us kind of to your first song that's out off of the new EP and the video. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about Bloomsday. It's got a line in there that I think most people across the High Plains will certainly relate to. Bloomsday's coming, open up the doors and have a goddamn beer. So this to me says about reopening and reconnecting with a community that feels a little more distant. Can you talk about the song as well as the video, which really made me want to slice a cake?
Yeah. The video, has that big sloppy looking homemade cake, which I really wanted to be featured in the video. And you wouldn't have wanted a slice of that cake after we were done with the video, because it got passed around to a lot of different people. And there were a lot of thumbs and shirts and everything that were dragged through it. But so this song, it sort of started as like this poem that I was writing about, sort of this feeling of maybe not having a lot of agency over our day to day, I guess. Like, we're kind of like feeling sometimes that we're just being like pulled along, and that feeling of just like, where does the time go? Like, why all the days string together, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's what it started out. But then I somehow started connecting it to sort of this reworked version of the like old kids' song, This Little Light of Mine, which just brings a smile to my face anytime I hear it or remember it or anything. And I kind of realized that the two of them together sort of made an anthem of sorts about, I guess, just like the possibility of each new day, taking that, seeing it from the other side and saying, okay, I know it feels like I'm just being pulled along, but I really do have the instrumentality to find, light and belief within myself. And yeah, so the song is meant to, I think, inspire like participation in each day. And Bloom's Day, for those that don't know, is a reference. It's kind of born from this novel, Ulysses, that was written by James Joyce. And basically the protagonist in the book, Leopold Bloom, the book just follows him through just like a pretty ordinary day, nothing. It would just be all of his, appointments and schedules and things like that. And so Bloom's Day is basically just me using that as an artistic way, as a substitute for, just any day, just a normal, nothing special any day, I guess. That's sort of what it's about. And then with the music video, I just sort of wanted to make something that showed, that feeling of like paying it forward, like of feeling like a light and a belief within yourself and then, doing something kind, passing it along to someone else and how that really does spread, I think. And, it's me trying to find a way, as somebody who tends to be a bit more of a cynical person, it's me trying to find a way to really express these feelings, outside of, I think, the normal, maybe overly saccharine, cliched ways that a lot of people think about it. So for the people that are a bit more curmudgeonly like myself, maybe this will feel on the nose whenever they want to feel hopeful.
Well, it's funny because This Little Light of Mine, that to me resonates as like a gospel song. And it's got this really great lyric, won't let Satan blow it out. We always thought that was so crazy and hilarious that a song had the word Satan in it when we were little. So that's one of the lines that I remember from that. When I saw that, I was like, oh, just, yeah, keep it shining.
Right on, yes.
Okay, so just on that same kind of topic, kind of the things that were informing the new EP, I Guess We Live Here Now, which again is out on April 9th. Cannot wait to get it. I saw mentioned that some of these songs were inspired by you feeling like I'm now rediscovering the things that are right around me that were previously unremarkable, but now that they're the only things I have that I can do, there's like a singular focus on them. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I don't know that it really has much to do with the songs themselves, but it is sort of a nod to where I was like physically when I was writing and recording them, which was just, here in Oklahoma with the way that I experience life, which I think is the way that most people do within their town, within their little like bubble that they exist in. They've got their, schedule. They wake up, they do the things that they have to do. They come home. It is that feeling of just like, where does the time go? Being pulled along in life. You don't really take the time to notice, certain things around you, because you're just clouded to it. And I think like during this time, a lot of people have felt a similar way. I've talked to them a little bit about this, which is, when all of those day-to-day activities, your normal sort of schedule is sort of disrupted and you find yourself with time to maybe go down a street, walk down a street that you haven't walked down in a few years, or go to a park that you've always thought that you would go visit but you never did, or drive somewhere that you've always wanted to go visit but you didn't really have time. You start to see your own home as like a tourist would, because you just don't have the everyday sort of things getting in your way, I guess. And so that was really like the mindset that I was in whenever I was writing a lot of these. It just gives you the time to turn things around and see them from a different perspective.
And you and I both live in places, as do most of the HPPR listeners, that probably don't get a ton of tourism.
Right, yeah. Well, and, there's reasons for that, because you do actually have to, look around for things to find. It's not like going to Paris or something and you look around and you just see, beautiful buildings everywhere. But if you look closely, I think. And if you take the time and slow down, you can find really amazing things. Yeah, even out in the panhandle of Oklahoma, I think.
Heck yeah, you can. Well, it's kind of like I'm excited to hear the new album because I want to hear how it kind of comes out of A Small Death, which was, you know, such a specific album. It's got a lot of areas of like kind of indie rock sounding pop music that when I play, you know, certain songs, it's like, oh, this is a Samantha Crane. Oh, wait, I forgot. This is one of the ones that's a little bit sounds a little different than some of the other ones. So the album to me really kept me on my toes because when I play it and I like to just kind of throw things in there and just kind of mix them around. And what can I play next to this? I can play so many different artists next to so many different songs on this album. So I'm excited to see if the variety of the different types of, you know, interactions. And I know that you had quite a bit of interesting production on A Small Death. Is the new EP, is it a little more stripped down than before because of the pandemic? Or were you able to, you know, produce it in a way that you wanted to have it sound exactly like you want it to sound?
I mean, I was still very much in the, like, from a production standpoint, I was still very much like in the world of A Small Death in that I think musically I was still, you know, right in that world. So it really isn't that stripped down. I mean, it is sort of exists in the same production world as A Small Death, I think. Luckily, I play a lot of the instruments. At least I can get a good amount of it done before I have to start bringing people in. But I did have, you know, some friends work on things remotely, you know, like with technology these days, you can, you know, send things back and forth to each other. My friend Matt, who does strings, he, you know, recorded whole string parts and things for some of the songs on here. So yeah, I mean, luckily I got to do everything that I wanted to production wise just through either doing it myself or through emailing or doing like some, you know, sort of socially distant studio sessions, that sort of things.
And having a lot of really great friends.
Yeah. I mean, it always pays to have a good, you know, store of favors worked up where you're just like, well, remember the last time I did this? So you can come over and do this for me now.
Well, I love the videos that you have. So many of the videos that you had off of A Small Death are just really so delightful. And there was one for Garden Dove where, you know, the video is really very different than some of the other ones. And, you know, just this black and white kind of like heavy thing. And then there's also a multi kind of a video split screen quarantine style where everyone's playing their different parts. So it almost to me like kind of took it apart and you see how much work went into this one song.
Yeah.
And so I'm interested, are you going to have, in addition to the Bloomsday video, are there going to be more videos that come out in, you know, collaboration with the release of the EP?
Yes, probably. I am working on a video tomorrow, actually, for one of the other songs, and then I'm sure I as the EP gets rolled out that, you know, if I have ideas or time to do other things, I'll probably will do them. I've gotten myself into a bit of a pickle with doing jobs for other bands on the video front over the next few months that it's left me with less time to work on my own stuff. So yeah, we'll kind of see how that trickles out.
Well, you know, I have to say one of my favorite videos that you had on there was for Reunion, and that looked very DIY, and I just absolutely adored it.
Yeah, I just took a GoPro out into a field and made that one.
I think
it's a good something like that to me is I think really good for people to see, to know that like the stuff that we do, you know, that you don't need anything to make things, you know, like you can make art or music or videos or whatever. You can do all of it with minimal equipment and funds and all of that. I think a DIY outlook on life is a good thing to show.
Yeah, and another example of that for people who are taking notes that want to check out some of these videos, Holding On to the Edge of Night. I love that the at the beginning it's like this is by the weather tower. That's it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, let's talk real quick about touring. I know you were on the road quite a bit before all of the pandemic hit and opening for artists like First Aid Kit, Avett Brothers, Brandi Carlile, Langhorn Slim, so many artists we play on this show that people would know their names. How has that grounding been for you that you and other artists in your circle having to stay put? Obviously, you have not slowed down. You're doing it. You're doing all this stuff virtually. You're figuring it all out. But not being on the road, being right where you are, do you like it? Are you a little nervous about going back to the way it was?
I think I'm kind of at a point in my life where I focus pretty heavily on adjusting to the situation at hand and not in trying not to think too much about, try not to linger too much on what ifs or if, when, and, you know, those sorts of things. So I do miss touring just because it's one of my favorite things to do, but I also try not to linger on it too much because it's hard to know when that's going to be something I can do again. And I think if I focus too much on it and based too much of my day-to-day emotions on whether or not I was getting to do, you know, this one specific thing, then I'd be pretty miserable, I think. So I tend to just think about where I'm at currently, and where I'm at currently is that I'm not currently in a position where I can be booking tours quite yet. So I just, when it comes back around, it will come back around. I might be not one of the trailblazers in getting back into it, just because I want to see how things shake down, I think, for other artists first. But yeah, I don't know. I do miss it, but there's not much I can do about it right now, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like I have a very similar outlook on it because we host a living room concert series that's just kind of like small folk venues across the High Plains. And I'm in no rush to put anything or anyone in danger. And so I'm right where you are. We'll see what happens. I do like to see that some things on the horizon are kind of popping up. Certain festivals are saying, we're going to do this. Things especially that are outdoors that are going to feel a lot safer if they're further into the late summer, early fall. So fingers crossed. I'm feeling hopeful, but hope feels dangerous in 2021.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's okay to kind of have little sparks of looking forward to stuff that you don't have to, like, you know, build a castle on top of. Like, I'm supposed to hopefully play Woody Guthrie Festival this summer. So that's something that feels really nice to think about. But I'm trying not to, you know, place my hopes and dreams all on top of it as being like this big thing that's going to start a steamroll of other shows, you know. So I think it's nice to have a little sparkle of something that feels good in the horizon.
And that's July 17th in Okemah, Oklahoma.
Yes, I believe so. I'm not sure if that's the exact date that we're playing, but it is that weekend. And as it stands now, we will be there unless, you know, of course, the festival gets moved around or something like that.
Well, we'll keep in touch with you about that and make sure that, you know, people do know if it is or isn't happening. So that's great. Well, Samantha, this has been so nice to catch up with you. We're so excited to see hear the new music and see the new videos when and if they happen. And I love that you're just kind of taking it all in stride. I think that's a really High Plains way to do it, honestly.
Awesome. Yes. Thank you.